My love for you is strong. My love for you will endure long. My love for you corrects your wrongs. My love for you sings over you a song of life, a song of strength, a song of hope. My love will come into you. It will cast out all fear, and it will lift you up and fill you with my goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe in God's love for that? Amen. Well, you know, we like to follow a series every month, pretty much, and then unless the Holy Spirit wants to do anything different. I apologize about the heat this morning. Last night, I set the thermostats to come on at 8 for 70, and over here was 95, in here was 79, so I'm not sure what happened, but the heat exceeded the setting. So if you're sweating, I just turned the air on just to cool it down a little bit and to help you not sleep, right? Amen. Well, we're so glad that you're here at Victory Christian Fellowship. I'm Pastor Doug, and been here for 13 strong years and going to be here until God does what he needs to do. Amen? But praise the Lord. Well, you know, our focus this month is going to be making God's interests our interests. And we're going to particularly focus on growing up spiritually. The next three Sundays, we're going to be getting into that. But did you know that God has some interests? All right? In the Gospels, God is interested in you knowing Jesus. He wants you to know Jesus, know who he is, what he came to do, and what his mission is. And in the Gospels, we have information about Jesus' life. They reveal to us his birth, his baptism, his induction into ministry, his sacrifice, and his resurrection. They reveal to us his life and his purpose. They give us insight into who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. The Gospels give us the history of Jesus and tell his story, right? His story is meant to be told over and over again. So we're going to look a little bit at what Jesus came to do according to the Gospels. And then secondly, in the book of Acts, God is interested in you as a believer in Christ Jesus to have the power of the Spirit. Amen? Acts is about power. It's about God's power coming to earth and infilling his children so that they can do great things. And then in the epistles, now the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. All right? Epistles were letters. The epistles are focused on a believer growing up in faith, growing spiritually, progressing in their faith. So that's what we're going to focus on the next three Sundays. Okay? Are you with me so far? Amen. Well, who is this Jesus? Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 47. We'll read verse 47 through 51. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Where did you know me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In the Gospels, there's recorded seven people who declared Jesus to be the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is God Almighty in a flesh body. He is the Word made flesh, and He came and dwelt among us. He not only taught us how to live, but He showed us how to live through His life, through what He did, what He said. Okay? And just for your reference, you don't have to turn to these. But the second one is John 4:29. The woman at Samaria confessed to everybody else in Samaria, is this the Christ? Matthew 14:33, when Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples said, truly, this is the Son of God. All right? In Matthew 16:16, Peter had a revelation. Jesus asked, who am I to you? And Jesus said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay? Through the Bible, Jesus came to show us who He is. It is the primary way that God reveals Himself to us. All right? In John 11:27, Martha declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. In John 20:28, Thomas said, after he touched Jesus' hands, he said, my Lord and my God. So who is Jesus? He's many things. He's everything. He is I am that I am, right? He is everything you need, everything you want, and everything you desire. He is God's Son. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. There's only one Savior. You can't get saved through any other person other than Jesus Christ alone, period. No one did what He did. No one will ever do what He did. He stands alone in the universe. Okay? I mean, you could say a lot about who Jesus is. But I don't want to spend all that time doing that. I just want to give you, He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the Savior of the world. You only find salvation in Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's what Jesus said about Himself. You can trust His word because He is the truth. Right? He cannot lie. He will not lie. But this is some things that Jesus said about Himself in the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel, verses 4 and 26, once again, you don't have to, He said He is the Messiah, the one that's going to save the world. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is the bread of life. You eat of Him, what's going to happen? You're going to get life. You associate with Him, you believe in Him, what's going to happen? You're going to get life. Life will be transferred to you. What kind of life? An abundant life. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life. How? Have it more abundantly. Amen? Jesus said in John 8:58, He said, I am the eternal one. What does that mean? He's going to outlast the Energizer Bunny. Eternal means everlasting. When God created this world, Jesus was there. When this world passes away, Jesus is going to be there. He doesn't have a beginning, He doesn't have an end. Why? He is eternal. This is important things to know about. These are things that He said about Himself. In John 9, verse 5. He said, I am the light of the world. You know, when Jesus came to all of us, we were in a dark place. And when someone's in a dark place, the one thing that they need is light. When the entrance of God's word comes into your heart, it produces light. It illuminates all the inward parts. He is the light of the world. You know, I heard someone say, imagine if you were camping and the call of, and you hear the call of nature. You know what I mean by that? It means you gotta go. And you don't have your flashlight. And you step out of your tent, you might run into the picnic table, you might trip over a root, or you may get lost. All because you didn't have a light. But Jesus is the light of the world. He shows us the way in which we need to go. John 10:7. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. No man gets to the Father but through me. He said, you can't get any other way. If you try to come to God in any other way other than through Jesus, he said, you're a thief and a robber. And you won't get in, right? But he is the door. How many doors are there to God? One door. Jesus is the door of the sheep. One way in, one way out. Okay? He is the door. John 10:11-14. He is the good shepherd. What kind of shepherd is he? He's good. He treats his sheep well. And by the way, we're still taking applications for the flock. Amen? We have a good shepherd. He wants to do good for you. When bad things happen, God is not the author of it. It's either sin or the devil that brings bad things. God brings good things. Why? Because God is good. He is. Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd. He feeds and he leads. Amen? What are we doing? Why are we talking about this? We're making God's interests our interests. I'm telling you who Jesus is according to the Gospels. Then we're going to tell you some things that he did. And then you have to come next week to hear how to grow. So if you want to know how to grow, you got to come next week. All right? John 10:35, Jesus said, I am the Son of God. He is God's son. And anyone who believes in him is God's son and daughter. When you believe in Jesus, you get sonship, you get daughtership, you get welcomed into the family of God. You know what that means? As a son and a daughter of God? When you get in trouble, and the devil wants to accuse you, you know, he's going to try to sue you. He's going to take you to court. But when you get to court, know that your father is the judge. And Jesus is your brother, the defense attorney. So when you go to court, when the enemy accuses you, you know that you're going to win. Now, if someone will do me a favor, and at the bottom of that thermostat back there, might want to turn it off because it's probably getting a little cold now. Yeah, back here by the lamp there. There you go. There's on the black thing at the bottom. There's a switch there. Just turn it to the off position. Thank you very much, Ray. Appreciate it. All right, in John 11:25. How many know what happened in John 11? Anybody know? That's where Lazarus was resurrected. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the life of the party. You want to have a party in life? Make sure Jesus is at the center. Because he's the life of the party. If your party was dead, he can resurrect it. If your life was dead, if your life was meaningless, he can add meaning and value to it. When Jesus comes into your life, he raises you up. He changes you. He instills in you life eternal, life forevermore. John 13:13. He is the Lord and Master. What does that mean? Decisions in life are not your decisions anymore once you become a believer in Jesus Christ. Now you must consult with the Lord, the Master. That means you do what He wants to do above what you want to do. And when there's a struggle between what you want to do and what He wants you to do, you better choose what He wants you to do, because that's where the greater blessing is. But it is your choice. We all are going to have things that we're going to have to make choices in life. But He is the Lord and Master. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you've been wandering in life, you don't know the way. Jesus is the way. Did you know that as parents, we're supposed to train children in the way? We're supposed to train children in Jesus, because He's the way. We're supposed to teach them how to believe God, how to trust God, how to talk with God, how to receive from God, how to walk with God. Train up a child in the way. Jesus is the way. You got to train your children up in Jesus. But the best way to do that is be in Jesus yourself. I can't expect my children to be in Jesus if I'm not in Jesus. I got to be in Jesus all the way. Amen? John 15:1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." If you want to grow, get connected to the true vine. He is the true vine because He is divine. Right? The true vine. Any severance from the true vine will result in death. If a person decides to walk away from the true vine, they can, but they will die. How do you walk away? Disobedience. Just not doing what God... Every act of disobedience is a walk away from God. Every act of repentance is a walk to God. So if we've disobeyed, that's not the end of the story. We can repent and turn around and go back. Amen? I know about you, but I've had to go back many times in my life. Thank God that we can repent, turn around. And this is not in the Gospels, but it's in Revelation. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." Amen? So, He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's all these things that we just mentioned. And what did Christ come to do? If you want to be interested in God's interests, then you got to find out what His interests are in. Go with me to Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. See, this is going to help us when we discuss how to grow as a Christian. Did you know that there are many people in the body of Christ today that have been there for 30, 40 years, but they have not grown? They have not progressed. That's not God's plan. Listen, when God comes into a person's life, you can't help but change. I mean, God came into this young Catholic boy, and my life changed. Didn't it change? They can testify. My parents, they know. See, but when that change happens, we got to walk it out. But we'll learn more about that next week. Okay? What did Christ come to do? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." He's looking for the murderer. He's looking for the drug addict. He's looking for the down and outer. But He's coming to seek and save that which was lost. That's why He came. He's looking for the sinners. Jesus said, it's not the well that need a physician, but the sick. And so when we're interested in God's interest, then we need to be interested in the lost. If Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, how are we seeking the lost? How are we reaching out to the lost? What are we doing to influence others? Now, here's the thing. It is not our job to convince anyone. You know, if you talk to someone about Jesus and they say, prove it, you can relax. You don't have to prove it. God will prove it. Amen? The Holy Spirit will prove him, Jesus, as real. He will prove who he is to be. Right? You don't have to prove it. All we have to do is tell them and show them. Right? Witnessing is about show and tell. How many had show and tell when they were in grade school? You know? We show the love of God by how we live. And when we get an opportunity to speak, we communicate the love of God with our words. That's how we witness. We live for God, we love God, and we share that with others in everyday life. You know, Jesus ate dinner. Jesus walked. Jesus' feet got dirty. Jesus got weary. But yet he never stopped seeking the lost wherever he went. He would look for lost people. Why? Because he had the answer. What about that woman at the well? He said, it is necessary for me to be in Samaria. He talked to one person. He talked to groups. He talked to multitudes. Whatever influence you have in life, that's your audience. Wherever you go, we're supposed to be like Jesus and seek and save that which is lost. Start by praying for the lost. If you're uncomfortable with witnessing, start by praying for lost people. Start lifting them up in prayer, and I guarantee you, God will communicate to you. Amen? Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And look at verse 32. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Whoa. You know, people want to say, oh, the gospel is peace. Well, it's also a sword. Did you know a sword enforces peace? It's a double-edged sword. The Bible is a double-edged sword. It can cut. It can discern. It's powerful. Okay, let's read on. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father, mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. What's he saying here? He's come to bring division. He's come to bring a sword. I like what Barnes said. Barnes is a study note, a commentary. It says that when Christ comes into your life, you are going to be separated from some people. They could be family members. How many know in the Gospels, Jesus' stepbrothers did not get along with him too well? right? They criticized him. You can read about it. You know, they gave him a hard time and said, aren't you going to go down to the feast? You know, because they didn't understand him. But did you know that some of his stepbrothers wrote some of the books in the Bible? They came around a little bit. They didn't stay in opposition to him because they came around with him. But when Christ comes into your life, there's going to be, you are going to be instantly separated from the spiritual and the natural. And the natural is going to oppose you. And those who are natural around you will not understand what is happening to you. So therefore, Christ does bring a division. I mean, Abraham had to leave his family to get what God wanted him to do. Not saying that you're going to have to leave your family. That was just in Abraham's case. But, you know, how many of you have, you don't hang around with certain people anymore since you got saved? Why? Because your relationships change. Why? Because you changed. And those other people didn't want to change like you changed. They wanted to be in opposition against you. So the best way to do is to walk away. That's what God says. That's what the Bible teaches, right? You can do your best to love them, but if they don't want to follow Jesus, hey, you've got to follow Jesus. And what he's saying here is you've got to love Jesus more than any other person on this planet. The number one person that you need to love in life is Jesus. First, above your spouse, above your children, above your grandchildren, you need to love Jesus. Because when you love Jesus, you're not going to be ashamed of him. You're going to promote his work. You're going to do great things. Let Jesus be your number one love. Did you know that every day you walk with Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter? Just how's that song? It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what love between my Lord and I. God's love does get sweeter, but it requires you, if you want the sweetness of his love, you got to get closer to him. Sometimes that means that you got to choose him above the others. That's really what he's saying here. Because not everybody is excited about Jesus. I mean, you know, Jesus' first sermon, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Well, that's encouragement to preachers there, right? Your first sermon, people may want to throw you over the cliff. When your relationship with Jesus is right, every other relationship will fall into place. Now, God's given you wisdom, right? He wants you to be balanced, you know? Loving God more does not mean you have to love your family less. It just means that he has the first place. He's the top priority. All right? He's the one that has all the answers anyway. If anything needs to be fixed in your family, Jesus can fix it. Only Jesus can fix it. He fixed the relationship between Jacob and Esau. Oh, yeah, Esau wanted to kill Jacob because Jacob took his blessing and he took his birthright and his blessing. Now, the birthright he didn't care about, but he wanted the blessing, and when Jacob deceived his father to get it. That made Esau even more mad. And Esau wanted to kill him, except Jacob put God first in his life. He made a covenant with God, and he said, bring me back to my home in peace. And guess what? Him and Esau got reconciled, because when they met, Esau didn't kill him. And that was the work of God because Jacob put God first in his life. How'd you like to be Joseph and have your 11 brothers tackle you and throw you in a pit and say that you died to your father? Oh, that could cause a lot of people to get bitter over that. Yeah, some people would be saying, my brothers, I can't believe they did this to me. You know, all the way to Egypt. Joseph could have been complaining. I can't believe my brothers did this to me. No, but he put God first. Everywhere he went, he had the favor of God. He was in a foreign land, in a foreign place as a slave, but yet he prospered. Why? Because God was first. The most important relationship in your life is your relationship with God. And, okay, you get the picture. I don't need to say anything more about that, right? Okay, if Jesus is not first, make a decision in your heart right now. Just decide, say, Lord, I'm putting you first. You're the most important person in my life. Just make a little adjustment in your heart. Amen? All right. Jesus, go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. It's getting warm in here again, isn't it? Can you just flip that on for me? Huh? It's probably the other ones. Just turn that on again, Ray. Thank you. John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. What did he do? But that the world through him might be saved. Why did he say might be? Because the world has to choose him. See, in order to get saved, salvation is available to everybody, but not everybody is saved. Why? Because they didn't choose Jesus. When he came knocking at the door, they're like, oh, it's you. I'm not going to answer the door. Oh, yeah. We've all been there. When you're sitting in the service and Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, let me in, and you're saying no. Then you flip the deadbolt. I'll never forget one time. We were in Gettysburg. We were doing an invasion. When I was still at Lee University, we were on an invasion in Gettysburg over some spring break or fall break, I forget when. And we knocked on this people's house. And they were home, but I heard them say, they're Jehovah Witnesses. So I yelled back, we're not Jehovah Witnesses. It was funny. But Jesus came to save that which was lost. It's what he came to do. And there's no one that can save like Jesus. Amen. He stands alone. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. What are we talking about? We're talking about making God's interests our interests. Well, if you don't know what God's interested in, it's hard to make his interest your interest, right? So I'm giving you a little glimpse into what he's interested in. Okay? John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. I just want to make sure if I'm at the right place here. No, I'm sorry. Go with me to, that's right. Okay. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. And all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that awesome? If you come to Jesus, he will not cast you out. Notice it said, all that come to me. Jesus won't come, he won't cast anybody out that sincerely comes to him. Okay? Verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me. I want you to notice that phrase, all the ones that the Father give him are the ones that believe in him. You can read it in some previous verses. But he said, all that the Father gives to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. So we know that Jesus came to do God's will. You know what? God is very much interested in his will. And he's very interested in his will being done in your life. Did you know that God has a will for you, a plan for you, a purpose for you? He created you with a purpose. He created you with an assignment. And you, every one of us are called to work that assignment in the earth. He gives you a lifetime to do it. Not everybody discovers their purpose. Not everybody does their purpose for the right kingdom. Some people take their talents and gifts and they give it to the world because the world gives them wealth and fame and recognition. But what if they were to take that gift and give it to God? What could God do with their gift? You know what? God will make them famous too. And it's a fame that won't corrupt them, right? But Jesus came to do the Father's will. He also came that none that the Father gives him will be lost. And that all who come to him are going to be raised on the last day. Guess what? Your future is bright if you're in Christ Jesus. You will be resurrected with him. Just as he was raised, you'll be raised. When you die as a believer, there is no sting to it. You simply leave this earth and you enter into the kingdom of God, into eternity. You simply walk out of your body and you're in a different place as a believer. You'd be like, you die and say, oh, see you later. You keep on existing. You keep on living. Now, an unbeliever, if they die as an unbeliever, they go straight down. People who die without Christ will go to hell. It's not the sin that people do that get them to hell. It's the rejection of Jesus. Did not God deal with sin on the cross? Did not Jesus take away the sin of the world on himself? Did not he shed his blood and wipe sin away? So someone then who continues to sin, you're doing that because you're rejecting Jesus. You're refusing to do his will in your life. I mean, when the Apostle Paul got saved, he stopped persecuting people. He stopped killing people. He stopped arresting people. He started healing people. He started preaching salvation to people. He started preaching life to people. His life entirely changed. He did some things different than he used to do. Why? Because Jesus met him. He began to do God's will, but that was God's will for his life since he was born. But on the road to Damascus is when he discovered what his will was. He had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him and said, why are you persecuting me? I mean, I'm sure Paul is like, whoa, I didn't realize I was persecuting you. But yeah, when you do it to the least of these, you do it unto him, right? Hallelujah. Go to John 18, John 18, verse 36. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, this was when he was before Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So what did Jesus came to do? He came to testify, to bear witness to the truth. There is a truth. There is a right. There is a wrong. There is a right. There is an absolute truth. Don't let anybody in this world tell you that there's no absolute truth. That's a lie. Jesus is the absolute truth. Why is he absolute truth? Because he's truth that never changes. He's been the truth in the beginning. He's the truth in the middle. He'll be the truth at the end. He'll still be the truth when we're in heaven having a good time with him. He's not going to stop being the truth. That's why there is an absolute truth. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. Not everybody likes the truth, but only the truth will set you free. Did you know that a person who lies, they can be set free by one act, and that's telling the truth? A person who lies is less likely to get mercy. A person who tells the truth is more likely to get mercy. When you do something wrong, fess up, admit it, and move on. Did not Jesus say that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and what? Just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but you got to confess. We've got to be people who stand for the truth. There's so many people in this world today that represent lies. And did you know that one lie leads to another lie, which leads to another? It's a never-ending vicious circle. Because you got to say one lie to cover up the lie that you told, and eventually you don't even know what is true anymore. Did you know that the Bible describes the devil as the father of lies? Any lie was fathered by the devil. So when we lie, we are agreeing with the devil. Oh, I'm just going to give you a little white lie so not to hurt your feelings. I don't care if it's white, purple, black, orange, it's a lie. A lie is a lie. Don't put any kind of color on it. Don't try to make a lie sound better. A lie is a lie. And if you get caught lying, whew. I've lied in my life before. And I've got caught. It's not fun. Now, I'm not sorry because I got caught. I'm sorry because I lied. Some people are sorry just because they're caught. But that's the wrong kind of sorrow. That's not godly sorrow. We got to stand for the truth. Amen? You're going to find out that part of spiritual growth is how the truth operates in your life. Speak the truth in love. That's a characteristic of someone who's growing spiritually. Living the truth. Is this helping anybody today? Jesus, he will come again. He said it. I believe it. Therefore, that's settled. If you doubt that Jesus is going to come, don't worry about when. All right? If you're the type of person that's going to wait to the last minute when Jesus comes, then you're going to make everything right, that might be too late. Why would you wait so long in a wrong? Why not make it right now, today, in this moment? Make it right. Make your life right. Make your life count. Get in line with Jesus, okay? Now, Jesus came to give us the gospel, right? I got this definition of the gospel. I believe God gave it to me. Listen, the gospel is the message of good news and truth about Jesus for all nations to hear that demonstrates the power of God and brings hope, life, and salvation to people who are lost in darkness of sin. And the way we become sons and daughters of God is through the gospel. I'm gonna give that to you again. I thought it was pretty good myself. I was like, wow, God is cool, man. The gospel is the message of what kind of news? Good news and truth about Jesus for all nations. to hear that demonstrates the power of God and brings hope, life, and salvation to people who are lost in the darkness of sin. The way we become sons and daughters of God is through the gospel. Believing it, hearing it, believing it, and receiving it, you become a son or a daughter of God. Amen? There are some things that happened associated with the gospel. Okay? Matthew 4:23. Go with me there, Matthew 4:23. The Bible says that Jesus taught and preached the good news of the kingdom and healed every sickness among the people, and the news about him spread to many. So when the gospel is preached, it's not just words. It is God backing up those words with his power. Wherever Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, people were healed. People were delivered. Demons were cast out. Hallelujah. Did you know that you have the power to cast out demons? Our young people at camp, they got to see a demon cast out for the first time. It was pretty awesome. I've seen it before, so I had to help explain that to them, right? But you have authority and power over the devil, and nothing from the devil can hurt you. That's good news. The gospel, what is the gospel? It is the blind seeing. It is the deaf hearing. It is the lame walking. It is the poor having a chance to turn things around. I mean, think about it. If you're poor, what's good news to the poor? Good news is you can come up higher. You can improve. You can get better. You can have more than what you have now. That's good news. The gospel should never be bad news. Did you know that Jesus never went around telling people that they were going to go to hell? I mean, hell is a place, and that is where people will go, but that he was focusing on the goodness of God. You know, look towards the positives of God over the negatives of God. I mean, really, because before judgment comes, mercy will always precede judgment. God will never judge anybody without giving them an opportunity or a chance to turn things around. Nineveh, your city's going to be destroyed in 40 days. Well, God was telling them they got 40 days to get things together. And what did they do? They heeded the message and they repented, and God spared the city. Turned things around, didn't it? The gospel, according to Luke 4:18, is the Spirit of the Lord anointing Jesus to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the captives. The gospel, when you're held captive by anything, when you're addicted to anything, you can be set free. That's the good news. If you were abused, you can be healed. If you were made fun of, you can be accepted. If you were defeated in Christ, now you can win. That's good news of the gospel. The gospel will turn things around in your life if you let it. Not everybody lets the gospel in. Not everybody says, oh yes, I accept that. No, they don't. Not everybody does. But those who will, they're the ones that are going to get the best things of God. So the gospel, when the gospel is preached, things should happen in people's life that bring change. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God to salvation to them that believe. Do you know that the gospel is power? It's got some power behind it. More so than any... I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Lord. So in the gospels, we learn about Jesus. We learn about who he is. his story, history. We learn about what he came to do. We learn about what he accomplished. And in the book of Acts, God wants his believers filled with power. All right? God wants, he'll be your power source. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're almost done. See, you're in a place today that is committed to preaching the gospel. And we want the gospel as it is, the word of God, the power of God, the goodness of God on display. Just as a show of hands, how many people has been touched or healed in some way being part of this body? Just raise your hands. I want you to just look at those hands for a minute. So people's lives are being changed. You can put your hands down, right? If you don't believe me, just ask those people who raised their hands. Lives are being changed. Marriages are being healed. Things are happening. Blessings are being released. Favors being poured out. And that's not me, okay? It has nothing to do with me. I simply say what God wants me to say, and then he does the heavy lifting. It's all God. God gets the glory, okay? I'm not here to build my kingdom. I'm here to build his kingdom. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8, says this. You shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. God will give you power to be something for him. If you never thought you could witness, you have power to do it if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All right? When did the Holy Ghost come upon everybody? It came on everybody on the day of Pentecost. How did it come? It came suddenly. It came like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house and fire appeared. And it appeared on every person that was in that house. The fire came on them. And the fire rose up within them. And they were on fire. You got to say, they were on fire. The fire of God will take you higher in life. We need the fire of God. We need the power of God. We need it. How are you going to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover if you don't have any power? How are you going to live for God in your own understanding if you don't have any of his power helping you? Because eventually, your natural strength is going to wear out, so where are you going to get your strength from? But he gives power to the faint, right? To them, he increases the strength to them that have no might. Okay? So you shall receive power. It's Holy Ghost power. It's power to be witnesses. It's power to live. It's power to do what's right. It's power to stand up for Jesus. It's power to not compromise. It's Holy Ghost power. How does it work? It works a lot like electricity. Holy Ghost power, when you come in contact with it, it could mess your hairdo. It could make you shake. It could cause you to fall down. It may cause you to shout or cry or run or laugh. Right? I mean, with electricity, you can cook your food, you could warm your house, you could do all kinds of things. Same thing with the power of God. Electricity is a natural explanation of God's power. God wants a church that's power. You know what? He's coming back for a glorious church. He's not coming back for a wimpy church. He's not coming back for a defeated church. He's coming back for a glorious church. You know what? We have the greatest power in us, the power of God. There's no other power that can defeat evil but the power of God. There's no other power that can heal a body but the power of God. There's no other power that can renew a mind but the power of God. And we have access to the power of God. So in the Gospels, we learn about Jesus. In Acts, we learn about power. And next Sunday, we're going to learn how to grow in God. God wants us to grow, to develop, to progress, to increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And we all have a part to play. You know, the Bible said that God did unusual miracles at the hands of Paul. Handkerchiefs were brought to him, and they were laid on the sick, and the sick were healed, and if they had any demons, the demons left. You're such a powerhouse for God that when you get around demons, they won't want to stay around you. They'll want to flee. They'll be like, oh no, she's up again. Oh no, he's up again. We got to walk in our power. We got to walk close to Jesus. If you want to be interested in God's interests, then you got to know about Jesus. You got to get empowered, and then you got to grow spiritually. Now, spiritual growth, it's different than natural growth. Natural growth occurs over time, but spiritual growth is not based on time. It's based on doing what you know to do. You can accelerate spiritual growth. You can cause it to speed up. You can cause it to become faster. Amen? Now, I believe that there's some people here today. No one is here by accident. Every one of you that are here, God wanted you here today to hear this. And God wants to do a work in your life. He wants to release his love in your life. He wants to lift you up. He wants to help you. He wants to touch you. Whatever it is that you need God to do, he wants to do it. And what makes him do it for you is your belief in him. Amen? All you got to do is believe. So, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I've never made the Lord my Savior. I've never invited him into my heart. I've never accepted him. Is there anybody here? Would you raise your hand if that's you? Or maybe you need power in your life to live. God wants you to be empowered. He wants you to receive his power. His power is a free gift. Amen. Just like salvation is a free gift. So if you need to know the Lord, if you need power, and if you need healing in your body, today is your day. Amen. I mean, I believe that God wants to demonstrate that his gospel is true. Because it is true. It is the truth. It's the best truth you ever know. So if you would like prayer for anything in your life, anything you're facing, anything you're dealing with, God's got answers. I would invite you to come up front, and I would be glad to have the privilege of praying for you and seeing God's power work on your behalf. But if that's you, then just come on up. The table's been set. Come and dine, come and dine. The Master is calling. Come and dine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Give you praise and honor and glory. My fears.